John 8:44. Let's say that with reference before and after. John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. You know, there's many things about you that can be explained by identifying who your father is. Think about that. The way you walk, even the health perhaps that you have, or lack of health, it explains a lot about you physically. It also is the same way spiritually. You will act like your father. Many claim that God is their father. Some place hope of heaven in the fact that we are all God's children. Is that true or false? Then that's a lie of the devil. And he is a liar and the father of it. And that lie is everywhere. I know my boys, when they were at Northridge, you had a teacher to always say, we're all God's children. No, we're not. You talk about people getting upset when you tell them that we are not all God's children. It's a lie of the devil. We are all God's creation, but not all his children. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. There are those who are called the children of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2. We were created in his image. That image was marred by sin. To say that you are God's child is to say that he is your father, and children will be like their father. And so tonight we're looking at John 8:44. And John, recording what Jesus says in this chapter, gives at least four simple tests to identify one's spiritual father in verses 33 all the way down to verses 47. Let's just read those verses. Let's start with verse 33. And here we're going to see that we need to seriously consider, who is your Lord? John 8:33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You're a slave of sin, so who's the Lord? The servant who is a slave to sin has as his Lord sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So you need to seriously consider who your Lord is. Number two, you need to consider seriously who your, what your labor is. Look at verses 37 to 41. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Whoa, boy, now you're starting to talk. Your father and mine. You're doing what your father does. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. So there's the deeds, there's the labor, their labor. Then we see in the last part of verse 41 to verse 43, your love. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. God is not your father if you don't love his word. So who is their father? And that's where Jesus gets real pointed. You see how Jesus beats around the bush all the time? Never gets to the point. You know, people get upset when a preacher gets right to the point and, you know, can you imagine having somebody walk up to you and say, you know what? You are of your father, the devil. Wow. And the lusts of your father, ye will do. You know what? He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, what's that saying? There's no truth in you either. He's your father. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And he's your father. You can see why people often wanted to throw Jesus over a cliff, why they wanted to stone him, why they were so angry with him. Let's look at this because we see their Lord, verses 33 to verse 36, their labor, verses 37 to 41, their love, verses 41 to 43, and now we see in verse 44 to 47, and right in the middle of this is 44, the verse we're considering, their longings. So let's look at verse 44. The Father is identified. Ye, and that ye is emphasized. It could be read this way. Ye yourselves are of your father, the devil. You who boast of having God as your father, you are of your father, the devil. God is not their father, verse 42. Instead, your father is the devil. Folks, the devil does exist. Jesus says so. And the lusts or the longings of your father ye will do. So how do you identify who somebody's father is? Their longings. Their Lord, their labor, their love, their longings, their lusts. And these longings reveal two features of Satan's character, his personality. Because we're talking about the personality of Satan here, right, class? All of you in the class. Number one, he's a murderer. He hates life. The devil is associated with death and destruction. Contrast that with Jesus Christ, the creator of life, chapter 1 and verse 3 of John, because in him was life, chapter 1 and verse 4. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the... John 14 and verse 6. God is hated by Satan. And man who is created in God's image. Look at the word there in that verse where it says he was a murderer from the beginning. Where does that take you back to? Right back to the Garden of Eden. Because when he tempted successfully man to partake of that which God had forbidden him to partake, immediately man died. Satan's a murderer. From the beginning takes us back there. And we learned another verse, Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death, murder, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. The image of God now marred in man. And Satan hates those who are restored to that image through Jesus Christ. Twice Jesus said, you seek to kill me. Did you notice that as we read these verses, verses 37 and verse 40? And it's a fact that they first denied. Go back to chapter 7 of John and look at verse 20. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Isn't it interesting? They're accusing Jesus in 7:20 of having a devil. And Jesus in 8:44 is saying, ye are of your father, the devil. And they're saying, you're a liar. We're not seeking to kill you. Well, let's back up a little bit. Chapter 7 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to. They're trying to kill him. You go back to chapter 5. I don't know where those verses are necessarily. I was thinking about this earlier. I didn't go back to see. But in chapter 5, you're going to see where they try to kill him. Number of places they try to stone him. He is a murderer. He hates life. Now again in John 8:44, the seduction in the Garden of Eden not only makes him a murderer, it makes him a liar. He hates the truth. What was Satan's promise in the garden? Ye shall not surely die. What was God's promise in the garden? Ye shall surely die. So folks, either God or the devil was lying. Because you've got the promise of God, ye shall, and you've got the promise of the devil, ye shall not. So, come on, who's telling the truth here? And here's the interesting thing about that, is that Adam and Eve, when they're confronted with these two promises, they're going, okay, God says we will, Satan says we won't. And who did they believe? And who do we so often believe? Every one of us has faith in someone. And throughout our Christian lives even, when we're tempted by the devil, remember, he's a murderer, he's a liar, and when he tempts us, who are we tempted to believe? Because who is it easier to believe? I mean, come on. If you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. Compared to, if you eat of this fruit, you shall not die. In fact, you shall become as God. Now, what's more tempting to you? I'm going to be much more excited about partaking of that fruit because, wow, there is reward in this promise, and it's a nice reward. Problem is, you believe a liar. He's a liar. And this is evident by his stand. Notice again in John 8:44. Let's find that. By his stand, abode not in the truth. That literally reads this way. In truth, he did not stand. And it's in the perfect tense, which means in the truth, he never has stood. He placed himself in a position of opposing truth and is still there. Why? Read on. Because there is no truth in him. Now again, contrast that with Christ. I am the truth. Satan, there is no truth in him. Christ always speaks the truth. Satan, in whom there is no truth, can make true statements, but they are made for the purpose of leading someone into error. One of my wise teachers, history of Civ teacher, Dr. Panosian, said, the greatest, most dangerous form of error is truth mixed with error. How else are you going to believe it? It's evident by his stand. It's also evident by his speech. Satan's speech confirms that he is a liar. When he speaketh a lie, when he speaketh a lie, he is the father of all lies. He is the ultimate liar. No wonder he hates the truth so much. No wonder he hates those who preach the truth, who love truth, and those who expose lies and liars. The lie out of his own. Do you notice that there? When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Literally, he speaketh from his own nature. That's who he is. He is speaking from his own nature. It's like a bubbling fountain. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when Satan speaks, it's lies. It is his nature. Ronald Reagan, in 1978 on his radio show, said something that I've written down. Calling a communist a liar is pretty frustrating. How do you insult a pig by calling it a pig? Communists are not bound by our morality. They say that any crime, including lying, is moral if it advances the cause of socialism. How do you insult a pig by calling it a pig? Some in leadership today in our country hate the truth. And that's why there are attempts to curb freedom of speech, to shut down debate, because men don't want the truth. Isn't it interesting that people willingly believe the lies? I mean, it is so frustrating when you're watching the news, Fox News, when you're watching the news and you're listening to these lies. You're going, how can you believe this? Because of their father, folks. Think of who their father is. Lying is Satan's natural language, just as speaking truth is who Jesus Christ is. So, the father is identified. He's the devil. But now, that takes care of verse 44 and another statement here, but we're going to see that the children are identical. The father is identified and the children are identical. Ye are of your father, the devil. Since the devil is their father, that makes them his children. That's true of every unregenerate soul. Again, I refer to Ephesians 2:2. They're called children of disobedience. How can you claim to be a child of God if you're the child of disobedience? How can you claim to be the child of God if you are the child of the devil, if he's your father? Lemuel Haynes, a black preacher in the early 1800s, was preaching against the heresy of universalism. Universalism is that everybody's going to be saved, there is no hell. And so he's preaching against this, and two young universalists come up to him, and they confront this little black preacher. And they say, "Hey, Haynes, have you heard the good news?" He said, "No, what is it?" "Why, the devil is dead," one replied. Haynes looked at them sadly, placed his hands on their heads, and solemnly said, "Oh, poor fatherless children, what will become of you?" I've loved what reading that. That's a true story. And he spoke the truth to those men. Like father, like son. And the lusts of your father, the longings of your father, ye will do. Ye will do. In other words, literally, the lusts of your father, ye desire to do. Can't blame God. They desire to do his longings. What religion today is characterized by murder and lies? Are you afraid to speak it? Are you afraid to say Islam? A religion of murder? A religion of lies? Whenever they're ready to murder, they scream the name of their father. Allah Akbar. It's too bad that Allah in Arabic literally does mean God. Because when those men flew those planes into the towers, they screamed the name of their father, not mine. Their father, the devil. By the way, they said they will share the same destination as their father. Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And you go down a few more verses to verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire." They will share the same destiny as he has. Folks, a liar is not a child of God. A liar is a child of the devil. And one of the things that we need to teach our children is that you always tell the truth. You always tell the truth. Lying is condemned in the entire scripture. You go back to the Old Testament. We read, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Exodus 20, verse 16. By the way, that's one of the reasons men hate the Ten Commandments. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, a lying tongue." Later on, "a false witness that speaketh lies." Proverbs 12, verse 22. "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." But you know where that word occurs most in the Old Testament, the word lie? The book of Jeremiah. Why? Jeremiah is preaching against lying prophets who cause my people to err by their lies, Jeremiah 20, verse 30, 23, 32. "They prophesy a lie," Jeremiah repeats in 27, 10, verse 14. 15, 16, chapter 28, verse 15, "They make this people to trust in a lie." Jeremiah was constantly preaching about the false prophets, saying, "They're liars. Don't believe them." Wouldn't you say that today is like Jeremiah's day? In the New Testament, Romans 1, 25, "The rebellious changed the truth of God into a lie." False witnesses, false teachers, false prophets, lying witnesses, lying teachers, lying prophets. What's characteristic of the last days? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Colossians 3, 9, "Lie not one to another." Ephesians 4, verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Do you ever know what the origin of that little phrase is? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I don't know if this is true, but I read this. They said there was an actual event where a man denied being a smoker. What do you think he did when somebody came upon him? I laughed when I read this. He put the cigarette in his pocket and his pants were on fire. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. We read in Revelation 21, verse 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. And the attitude of the children of the devil, I don't care, I don't care. I can buy another pair. You know, I think the Secret Service of the former president should have carried a fire extinguisher around for all the lies that were spoken. I read an article once in, this is an old copy of USA Weekend. There's this little article that says, are you for real? A website will make up convincing lies for you. Truth is beautiful without doubt, but so are lies, poet, philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson said. And with the exception of politicians, perhaps no one fibs as beautifully as Alibi Network, a three-year-old service, this is back in 2007, so it was started in 2004, that provides elaborately constructed excuses for its clients. Quote, people get into sensitive situations where they don't necessarily want their friends and family to help them, so we deal with it, spokesman Helen Tracy says. Whether you are looking to skip a day of work or to secretly leave town for the weekend, Alibi Network can provide fake airline receipts or phone calls to your boss explaining your absence and even mock up an entire itinerary for a bogus conference you were attending. Rarely has lying been so creepily airtight. The Chicago-based company charges from $75 for a simple phone call to thousands of dollars for extensive lying on top of a $75 annual fee. The most popular service is the virtual hotel, in which the fibber can provide a boss or family member with the phone number of a hotel where he's supposed to be. The number rings to one of Alibi's phones, which are staffed by actors who will answer as if a particular hotel has been reached. The incoming call can then be forwarded to the fibber's cell phone, making it seem as if he's in a certain city, even though he's not. Some requests involve a creative solution. One working stiff asked the service to get him out of a boring week-long training class that had been mandated by his office. So Alibi hired an actor to dress up as a courier and barge into the class informing the man that his house had been robbed and he needed to get home right away. Another request involved a married woman with small children who longed for a relaxing weekend away from the kids. Alibi concocted a story that the woman had won a free spa weekend in a prize drawing and hired an actor to call her home and leave a voicemail message informing her of her win. Still, Tracy admits that the company assumes many of its clients are using the service for the purpose of committing adultery. Not exactly uplifting news, but hey, if Alibi's site is the worst thing you can find on the internet, then you're not looking hard enough. Lies. And it's more happening more than we think. Let's go on to verse 45 because I want us to get the context. We see that Jesus says that you are of your father the devil. Three things about verses 45, 46, and 47. Verse 45, we see that the devil's children are not believing Christ. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. I is emphasized. And because I myself, as opposed to ye yourselves are of your father the devil, verse 45, and because I myself tell you the truth. Notice Jesus does not say, although I tell you the truth. He says, because I tell you the truth. You see, the children of the devil do not accept the truth because it is the truth. Since the first parents rejected the truth and believed the lie of the devil, they're under the power of lies. Here's a lie. There's no such thing as hell. Here's a lie. You're not a descendant of Adam. You're an evolved ape. You possess no soul. When you die, it ends all. You're good, will get you to heaven if it outweighs your bad. You will not accept the truth because it is the truth. The devil's children not believing Christ. Verse 46, the devil's children are not convicting Christ. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Jesus is conscious of his absolute holiness. If he was not God, then he is usurping the place of God. He would be denying the truth of Ecclesiastes 7:20 that says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The same question is posed to you. Which of any of you can convict or convince Jesus of sin? Which of you? No one can convince him of sin. Do you know any verses in the Bible, class, that talk about the sinlessness of Christ? Second Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Who knew no sin. Other verses like Hebrews 4:15. Imagine a pause at the end of the first sentence in verse 46. Look at it again and imagine a pause. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And Jesus looks at them. Pause. When there's no accusations, and if I say the truth, then why don't you believe me? You can't convince me of sin. Why don't you believe me? Since you cannot sin, since he's not a sinner, he cannot lie. So since I say the truth, why don't you believe me? And now there's another pause at the end of verse 46. Possibly. Pause. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. And so the third point is the devil's children are not hearing Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. It all comes down, folks, to the word of God. In fact, verses 31 to 47 can be summed up by following their relationship to God's word throughout all of those verses. Verse 31, true disciples are known by continuing in my word, Jesus says. Verse 37, you do not give my word room. You are closed-minded. Verse 43, you are not able to hear my word. Verse 47, since you do not hear my word, God's word, ye are not of God. Rather, verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. You will listen to a lie, but you won't listen to the truth. Now, folks, as I close this tonight, let's understand something. The devil can still convince you and I, you and me, that what we are believing is a lie. He is able to get you to doubt God's promises. That his way truly is perfect, as they sang tonight. That's a lie, Satan says. And what do we have the tendency to believe? When you're going through deep waters, I'll tell you what, it is so easy to believe it then. It is hard sometimes because our emotions take over and the difficulties we are experiencing get us down. And we want to believe something that has an immediate result right now. Give me some understanding. And the devil will lie to you and take advantage of your situation and our lusts. Who's your father? I believe all of you would claim that Jesus Christ, God is your father through Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean the devil's given up on you. He knows he can't bring you to hell, but he does know this, that if he can shut you up and get you to doubt God, at least you're not going to tell other people about him. And you therefore will not glorify him. That's why this verse is so powerful. for us to remember. Satan is a liar. Jesus Christ is the truth. And this kind of hits home because I've talked to people who doubt God. As Christians, they get to the point where, boy, I'm not sure God's real. And I've talked to pastors who say they've talked to others. Man, people, they're doubting that God is real. They don't even know if he exists anymore. Who is telling them that? It's a lie of the devil. And he is so convincing.